Amen. Well, I'm going to invite Jonathan up. He's going to be speaking to us today. So let me just pray for him, and then I'll hand over. Yeah, Lord, we thank you so much for Jonathan and his gift for sharing about you with others. And I just pray now that you'd completely quieten our hearts, help us to hear really clearly from you, help us to hear what you're saying to us and to your church. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Ben. So, we are starting a new series, God's Heart for Our Freedom. You know, when I was kind of, as I mentioned kind of at the beginning, of looking into this, just that realization, you know, that the gospel story, the whole fact of our Bible is a story of kind of freedom and being liberated from the things that would bind us. So it's going to be powerful series. I'm really looking forward to Andy Street, who's going to be speaking next week. People who know Andy, you know, he's a man of such wisdom, a real star, and somebody we're so privileged actually as to have speaking to a lot of what we do, as he commits with leadership team and just an outside advisor to speak about some wisdom. So, who's heard of the Merriam-Webster dictionary? Can you pull that up? It's an online dictionary which you may have come across, and they, as well as being kind of something as a reference material, they also have a section in it where every year the people who go on the website can kind of suggest a word that might sum up the particular year. And here are some of them. In 2017, the word feminism came up, and that was kind of on the back of the Just Me movement, was it? There was kind of all that going on, and that's where that came from. Justice in 2018, where there was a real drive towards social justice in the kind of news and media. So that's where that one came. 2019 seems so long ago, and that's when this kind of gender-neutral pronoun became the word of the year that people kind of saw as being the kind of relevant to describe the year. Then, of course, 2020, pandemic, that was kind of fairly predictable. And 2021 vaccine, which kind of sat within that same time that we were going through COVID-19. But who would hazard a guess what the most recent one was? What was the word for last year? Anybody got, sorry, what was that? I thought somebody had go on, try.
Freedom?
No. No, it's not freedom, actually. It's not. It's a word that's become very, very widely used in the media. Sorry? Woke. No, that would have been a really good one. I could have preached on that. No, it wasn't woke either, which it could well have been, couldn't it? No, it's a different term. It's the term gaslighting. And we see that a lot in the media, don't we? It's thrown about all over the place, gaslighting, people being gaslighted or lit or whatever the correct term would be if I knew how to speak properly. And if you look, I kind of looked it up and I tried to kind of understand what gaslighting really, really means. It comes actually from a play and a film back in the 1940s where this dastardly character would dim and brighten the gaslight in the house to undermine his wife, because he would deny that he was doing it and saying that she was just kind of imagining it all. And he was playing this game of turning the lights up and down to undermine her and to actually take on this coercive control of her, which is where the kind of term has kind of flowed from, this idea of coercive control. So although there are lots of really complicated psychological descriptions on the internet of what gaslighting is, I made up my own. And because I think what it means is imprisoning someone with lies. And that really is the thread of what I want to talk about this morning, what we need to just focus on this morning to think about this whole thing of being imprisoned with lies. Or in fact, what we're going to talk about and think about is the antithesis, the opposite of that, the total opposite. And that is the words of Jesus when he said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It's a beautiful antithesis. It's a beautiful opposite, isn't it, of being gaslit. It's like turning the lights on fully. It's a lovely thing. And we live in a world where, you know, there is such kind of suspicion of what we're told in the media and whether that we are being manipulated and controlled and persuaded to go in one direction or another by the media. We come back to the truth of Jesus, that if we know the truth, his truth, he will set us free. What I'd like to do is, as we kind of pick this apart a little bit, as we go through, is just to think about the key words there, to see what our understanding of them is, so that we effectively start on the same page. So, you will know, the idea of know or knowledge, and that's what I was trying to demonstrate with the Johns this morning, this idea of knowing something. The term in here used in the original language is not a head knowledge. It is a heart knowledge. It's a deeper knowledge than just a theoretical knowledge. It's like the difference between going home for your Sunday lunch and knowing how it was cooked, but when you eat it, you're nourished by it, you know it, you have the fullness of it inside you, everything about it comes to life. And that's where we're talking about knowledge. So then we go on to truth. This is a tricky one these days, isn't it? Because there is so much truth out there. And they talk about being post-truth, don't they? And all this sort of nonsense. I had a look back at some adverts from the 1930s about smoking. Truth that people were presented with. Truth that doctors said, well, yeah, you know, it's good for your throat having a good old bit of Chesterfield or whatever, it will clear your airways. People died because of these lies. These truths have crippled societies. They've done terrible things. So what is perceived as truth is something that we have to be very wise about, I would argue. That today, more than ever, we are thrown so many things which everybody wants to hang their hat on and say, this is how it is, and this is how it is. We have to be really careful because, you know, 30 years before these adverts came out, there were papers being written in just before the turn of the 1900s linking cancer with smoking. They knew, and power and vested interest continued that lie. That happens today just as much as it did then. And I think we are wising up to that as a society. We're becoming more sceptical, but we've got to be careful about what we hang our hat on and what we believe and take as truth, because it may not be 100% of what we think it is. But we're fortunate in this particular kind of passage where Jesus is talking about truth. He actually precedes it by saying, if you abide in my word, you will know the truth. So he's linking it and he's saying truth sits in his word, in him, the logos, the him. He is the word and that is the root of truth. And I was saying at the beginning, you know, I think the more I read these things, I think that really the only objective truth that we know is true is the biblical truth. I'm not saying everything else is a lie, but I'm more and more sceptical about more and more things where I can trust and do trust the Bible. I don't understand it all, but that's where I have to root myself because it's the only thing we can grab hold of, which is truth. And then we come on to freedom. Freedom's a good one. Now, on the following the line of the truth will set you free. Oh, here we go. So it says, then you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. Then the people who were listening, these other, the Pharisees who were also there, they answered him, we're Abraham's children, descendants. We have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? That's a laugh, isn't it? If you think they were in Babylon, they were in Egypt, while they were having that conversation, there was probably a legion of Roman soldiers marching past them. Yet, there is a complete denial of reality, a complete denial of truth, because of a presupposition, an idea that, you know, they're beyond that. I think what this was telling me as we're starting to look at it is that our perception of actual reality and truth is really can be quite tenuous. We can decide what we think is true, and we can fight very strongly against the reality that is ahead of us because it doesn't really fit with what we want. Sometimes if we have to face truth, it means we have to change. And if we have to change, that's pretty painful. And we don't particularly want to. Because it means we were wrong. It brings a humility. I think I want to try a little another experiment with you this morning, if I may. Would you kindly do this? Can you do, if you put two fingers up like that, and then what I want you to do is with your other hand, grab those two fingers tight as you can, and we'll tell you why in a second. Because what I've learned, I hope you just keep on tight as you can, don't stop. What I think is our perception of truth is often rooted around what we're gripping hold of and holding tightly to. And there's an issue with that. Because if you don't let go, keep tightly, but just loosen your grip enough that you can slide your fingers out, okay? Now, just gently try and open your hand. It's horrible, isn't it? Don't want to go. Because we take on the shape of what we're gripping hold of. We start to be identified with it. It starts to become who we are. We are shaped around that. God calls us to be shaped around Jesus and to be conformed to his likeness, but we are conformed to the likeness of the thing that we're gripping most tightly around. Now, that may be that it's some good things. Sometimes it could be some social justice thing that we are passionate about. It could be any number of things. It could be actually wealth and power. But it could be good things as well as bad. But it's not what we're told to be shaped by. We're told to be shaped by him. And that's where our tight grip is called to be. Knowing the truth and the truth setting us free is something that we hear, and I'm sure many of us have been to a lot of kind of Christian events and things, and God has put his finger on something and said, this is a truth you need to hear. And you've responded to it and you've said, yeah, you recognize it. And you say, God, yes, I do recognize that. Yet somehow that truth hasn't set us free. Somehow, next week we're the same as we were last week. I think sometimes we have an expectation that God's going to kind of go bang and then we are going to change into the person he wants us to be. And it doesn't seem to always be like that. But I believe that it's we are a work in progress. But I think the root of this change, of releasing our grip and allowing him to shape us, starts with us submitting to him, but allowing him to empower our change. The problem I think we often, and I'm so guilty of this, of believing that I can make that change, that I can kind of be better. And I think that we're following a falsehood when we believe that. I believe that we're empowered by God to change. He's shaping us, not us. He is moulding us into the likeness of Christ, not us. There's a guy, Nick Vujicic, who most of you have come across, who is an evangelist and a brilliant preacher and Bible teacher, who, if I can have kind of next slide up on Nick Vujicic, because I've forgotten the line, I'll need it, the verse, thank you. One thing Nick said, which has always stuck with me, and a guy with no arms and legs kind of brought this to a kind of a bigger reality than I'd ever seen before, is the victory comes when we admit we can't do this on our own. And I mean, because he wanted to be independent, although he could, it was so hard for him to be independent, he then realized that the victory comes when he admits, I can't do it on my own. And I believe that that's what God would say to us, that we need to submit to him and allow him to empower us. When they were going into the promised land, this is what God said to, whose name just has gone, the Joshua, thank you. I'm glad somebody's not is listening. He said this, be strong, take courage, don't be intimidated, don't give them a second thought, because God, your God, is striding ahead of you. He is right there with you. He won't let you down. He won't leave you. And I think that that's where we need to start to work towards, to allow God to lead us in these things, to submit to him, to allow him to break us away from the bonds and the things that hold us down. Because he wants us to be free. Now, I think, I'm sure, if you're anything like me, there are things that you recognize that you are gripped hold of far too tightly. And I believe that God wants to start to release your grip on those things. This isn't a self-help thing. This is not about you becoming your best. It's about him pushing past that to what he has called you and wants you to be. It's about, you know, it could be something like money. It could be, and you know, that is a tough one we all struggle with, of being released from that kind of being gaslit, in fact, by money, where it says that's where your security is. You need to be really careful because, you know, that's where you've got to be really tight with that and hold it strongly, because that's where your security is. Yet we know that illness or a car accident or a failed business can change that in a heartbeat. Everything can change. Perhaps something like an emotion where there's been an injustice over you that you are resentful and angry about and probably have every reason to be, yet you're gaslit into the idea that somehow that's okay not to put it down and forgive, that you grip it so hard, it's defining who you are. God doesn't want us to let go of these things and be free just so that we can have a better life and feel better. I believe that he wants to do this and calls us to do it, not just invites us to, but calls us to, because if we do, we become disciples. If we know the truth will set us free and we will be his disciples and we'll be effective in his kingdom. And that's what we're called to be. Be his sons and daughters out there, being everything he made us to be. So that, you know, because if we believe, as we do, that the reality is that people go, there is a lost eternity, and we are called to be God's witness, his light in the darkness, you know. We can't be ambivalent about this. We need to be battle ready. And we have a responsibility to be battle ready to do that. And I think that it comes down to some fairly simple things for this to happen. It's hard to change, and we all struggle with change so much, me more than anybody. But loosening our grip allows God to initiate that change. Just letting him start to take control of that. You know, and it's not going to be a quick fix. We're a work in progress, and it is a bit messy, to be honest. Can you have the next slide up? I was just thinking about this because I work in construction. You look at a building site like that, and it is chaos often, it appears. But there is a plan, and there is a process going on. And I feel that that's where we are. The process is pretty messy. And yeah, it looks a bit chaotic. But he has a plan to bring it to a fruition and a completeness, which he will do in us. And that's what he's called us to do, to be that, to be his people, that we will bring about a final kind of construction, in this case, a building. That's the live building, I think. But it's ordered and complete, and that's what he calls us to be. I think, as you know, as we kind of draw to a close, as I say, it's not about a guilt trip or a quick fix. But I think God calls us to take on responsibility to let go of the things that distract us, the half-truths that drive our life, the things that we make an excuse for, to say, well, I've always been a bit like that. Well, I'm just turning into my mother, or whatever. Those sort of expressions, you know, they're not good enough. Not for him. Not for him. He wants the fullness of us. He wants the whole thing that he created in us, the passion that he put in your heart. He wants to see it because, not because we're going to be more elevated, but he will be seen through us. And I believe the call on our lives is that Christ is seen in us and through us, that light shines beyond anything. Not clever theology, nothing like that. Just integrity and beauty of him, he who made us. And then has set us free to be the ambassadors that he called us to be. Let's just pray together, shall we? Jesus, we thank you that you led us the way and you led us into truth. And through your truth, we have freedom. Lord, I pray that you would inspire us to use our freedom with wisdom, that you would inspire us to use that freedom with passion for your word, that we don't take things lightly. We don't just go on with life, but we just get hold of where you would have us. That we take seriously the commission that you've put on our lives, that people would see you in us. So bless us this morning as we part and change us, Lord. We ask that you would just loosen our hands around things that we hold so close, and that then you would become the focus. Bless us in your holy name. Amen.